Hey everybody, this is Ed from My Figure Universe, and today my guest is Jesse from the Crusher Convo. Welcome!
Hi, thanks for having me.
Oh, glad to have you here. Big fan of your podcast and love your background. Love that data picture you got back there. Not quite sure.
Thank you.
And I have to ask, is that a Beverly Crusher candle?
It sure is. From the greatest generation. They were selling it. So yeah, I snagged it real fast.
I like that. I like that a lot. Glad to have you here. Tell me now, for anybody that doesn't know you, for anyone that hasn't followed you or isn't following you, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, so I'm a new fan of Star Trek. I just started watching Star Trek 3 years ago, and I fell in love with the character of Dr. Beverly Crusher and wanted to talk to fans about the character. And just after I started watching it is when the news of season 3 of Picard came out, where the cast was coming back. And so I thought this would be a great opportunity to talk to other fans. So at first I started talking to them on Twitter, on the Twitter spaces. And after that, I was all like, hey, I could probably do this podcast thing. And I was inspired by the podcast Green Shirt, who was watching The Next Generation for the first time, Cameron. And so I liked their conversations. And I also was inspired by Gates's podcast, where she has these wonderful conversations with other people. And so I wanted to make it like that, conversational. And so I just started doing it. And I had a co-host at the time. And we were basically deep diving the next generation through the eyes of Beverly Crusher. And then I kind of changed it up in season 2 by doing it more video podcasts and on YouTube, and decided to deep dive all of Star Trek through the eyes of Beverly Crusher. So that is where I'm at right now. But I also like to cross the streams. I've done Star Wars. I just did Xena. and Doctor Who's probably going to come up, and definitely X-Men 97 because Gates is going to be on it. So I'm definitely going to be doing that next year. So can't wait. But yeah, that's what Crusher Combo is all about.
Now I got a question. Did you ever hit like season 2 of Next Generation and just go like, what happened? What I mean, because 3 years ago, I can imagine you're starting out, you're watching Star Trek for the first time. You're like, ooh, I love this show. This is going to be great. Season 2. Oh, what?
Wait, what happened? It's funny because it was my husband who was a big TNG fan. That was his favorite show growing up. And we met in college. So it took him like 18 years to like, you got to watch the show. And I grew up with Star Wars. And so I just wasn't interested at the time. And when I bought him the Blu-ray collection of TNG for Christmas, he was rewatching it and it caught my attention. And at first it wasn't Beverly that caught my attention. It was O'Brien and Data. And the reason those kind of caught my attention is because, you know, like O'Brien used to have like those little quips, you know, and I was like, huh, that was kind of funny. You know, I was like, that was kind of funny. So when I decided to watch it, it was on Netflix at the time. And so I just binged it all the way through, and like in the car at work, because I used to be a laundry attendant. So I was able to play it while I was folding laundry and everything. So I went through the whole series in like 2.5 weeks.
Whoa.
And it was about midway, I would say like 5 days in, 6 days in, I like tweeted, I love Beverly Crusher with like a crying emoji. And that was after season 2, obviously, but I was interested. I was like, where did she go? And my husband was even like, I have no idea. She was gone and then came back. So I Googled it and I was like, oh, she was fired. And he's like, excuse me. And so then I really dive like, what happened? What's going on? Because I love those stories, those behind the scenes stories, and love documentaries and things. And so I got really interested in. That was kind of another reason why I like talking to other fans, because of their experience, especially when they watched it for the first time, what they went through in season 2. Like, some Beverly fans still have not seen season 2 of TNG. They refuse. They like, nope, I refuse. I will not do it. I think there's some very important episodes in there, but yeah, it's a little rough. But I don't hate Pulaski. I think they tried something and it just didn't work. But I think her character's fine. It just didn't work for the show. Like, she was too TOS when they were trying, like, you know, Roddenberry was trying to go in a different direction. So I think that was just unfortunate. But yeah, it is what it is, right? Gates came
I think
back
a lot of
and
that came down
all's
to
good.
just the older the older generation running the show at the time, it was very much like, we need to have that old timer. We need Bones McCoy, and and if you look at the 1980s, the 1980s was very much, I'm not to say that the 60s and 70s wasn't, but the 1980s was heavy into the women's movement and a strong independent woman. And let's be honest, Gates McFadden is one of the strongest and most independent women you could possibly fathom in the industry. If
Absolutely.
you know, and I can't speak for her, nor would I, but I can only imagine that conversations between her and the powers that be at that time were one of, she is in strength and like, no, I'm not, gonna do this or whatever. And I can't imagine that went well for the the men in charge at the time.
Correct.
I do want to say, when you were talking about, her being fired and such, and documentaries, it's like, did you ever like watch like Trouble on the Bridge? That documentary. And I mean, obviously, I'm sure you've seen the Nacelle documentary of the, oh goodness
The
gracious,
center seat.
the center seat. Yes, I mean, she was the voice of it, for goodness sakes. There you go, there you go. Which I always
You
wanted to
could
get a
say I'm
Blu-ray
a fan.
release.
Yeah, you could
I
say I'm
never
a
did get
fan.
that Blu-ray release, but it's fine.
It's fine. I'll buy it. I did watch Chaos on the Bridge, because that was
Yes,
strictly season
Chaos on
one
the
and
Bridge.
season two. And it had Maurice Hurley in it. And so I wanted to hear through his side of the story. It didn't really paint him in a good light, in my opinion. I think it really kind of was like, now I know what they were talking about. But in his mind, he thought he was saving the franchise. Like, it was losing control and I had to save it. Like, for some reason, he thought that he was the savior of Star Trek when there was really nothing to save. I think he just really went off track on all of that. And for some reason, he just felt that Gates was not the right person in that role. And, it was unfortunate, and of course he there was a lot of chaos happening, especially with the cast. I think for me, the part where he admitted that he was going to fire everybody because he just couldn't handle them anymore, and I think that of course is what really ended up with his demise of leaving the series. And then that kind of did it for him. Like, okay, now you're going a little too far, thinking you could just fire everybody and hire new people, because that's not the direction that they were going with Berman and Roddenberry. So I think he definitely made his own exit at that point. But it brought Gates back. I mean, Gates always says Patrick called and was like, "Please come back." She's like, "Okay, sure." And it was like she never left. Like, even though they had an extra year under their belt to really get to understand their characters, Gates followed through really, really quick. But it was tough for her because these scripts were meant for Pulaski, and they had to rewrite a little bit to kind of make it more Crusher, but it was still not the same character that she had originally played in season one.
Well, at least she understood data, and how to say the
Correct.
word. But yeah, I really liked it when she came back. I'm a big fan of season three, Crusher. I really was. I've never liked Pulaski. It's not that I dislike her, but I don't really enjoy season two episodes very much. I like, if you were to say what's your favorite season two episode, I'd sit and stare at you blankly as I tried to figure out one. I could easily tell you the one I don't like easier than I could tell you one I like. But Shades of Grey, looking at you. But yeah. But yeah, it's I love that, and I love that your fandom is pretty well focused, in regards to her character. It could have been a completely different beast if it was the Miles O'Brien, convo, like every episode would be about torture and how are we going to screw up his life this week. But
You're right. There's a lot of material, though. That's for
yeah.
sure.
One, there's a few that come to my mind immediately. I was like, ask me my favorite torture of Miles O'Brien. Okay.
Right.
No,
Yeah.
but
Poor character. He went through a lot.
Indeed. Indeed. But yeah, so now tell us something we don't know about you though. Like obviously you've touched on the Xena. You like the Xena and other fandoms. What's something that would surprise people that, are watching your show, that tune in, that follow you, something that you haven't really focused on, but what's something that would surprise them?
Oh gosh.
If it not even a fandom, but maybe something you collect.
Well, I just showed my Xena collection today, so I've already explored that. Gosh, I've talked about Jaws. I have a love for older movies and older television shows because that's what I grew up on. So I have a huge just love for Lucille Ball, Carol Burnett, and Julie Andrews.
Okay.
Those were something that I absolutely adored growing up. Victor Victoria is my favorite Julie Andrews movie. I loved Carol Burnett. I remember as a kid because I grew up in, I was born in 85. So they used to have the Carol Burnett show like playing in the background, and it would be on like at midnight, and I used to sneak out and go turn on the TV and watch it because that was the only time I could see it. But of course, I Love Lucy was on reruns all the time too, and so I understood just what comedy, female role models looked like. I loved the Golden Girls.
Oh,
I
yeah.
loved Mama's Family.
Oh, love
So,
Mama's Family.
those were just television shows that I grew up on that I just adored. But I mean, even at the time, my mom was very open to a lot of different televisions. Like, I watched Saved by the Bell, and I watched, Fresh Prince of Bel-Air or Hanging with Mr. Cooper, Sister, Sister. Like, I loved those television shows growing up, TGI Friday night kind of
Oh,
shows.
TGIF, yes.
Yeah, the TGIF. And so those were the things that I absolutely adored. But yeah, those classic television shows, I feel like you can't replicate that. Like, there was something special at that time that I don't think that we can get back again. The golden era of TV,
No.
and that's why I think for like movies, I love Jaws. Jaws is my favorite movie. Clue is a close second. Superman, I'm a huge fan of. There's actually Young Frankenstein. I was a Mel Brooks fan, so I've seen Blazing Saddles and Spaceballs and all that, all those good things. And but yeah, even there was a movie people hardly ever know. I love Dolly Parton, and there was a movie she did called Best Little Whorehouse in Texas with Burt Reynolds. It's the most B movie that you could think of, but it's hilarious to me. I could watch it all the time. So I think that would probably be something that most people might not know. It's just like I am a huge fan of classic television. Mary Tyler Moore, Dick Van Dyke, Andy Griffith, bring it on. Like, I
That's
just like all
great.
of it.
Now we're big fans of Jaws in this household. Like we have a running gag that Jaws and the Michael Myers Halloween movies are probably the two most watched things in our household. I think it's
Nice.
because they're always on AMC. So it's like we stop and it's like, okay, we'll just go, we're gonna watch this again.
Yeah.
And Superman, I see your Christopher Reeve picture behind you.
Yep.
Love Christopher Reeve's Superman. That was my Superman that I grew up on. And you mentioned oh man, there were you mentioned a lot.
I was throwing at you, sorry. Yeah,
It was like
Frankenstein, like Mel Brooks
well,
and
the one that caught my attention was Blazing Saddles. Now you like Blazing Saddles, so I have to tell you the same thing I tell everybody else. Something I discovered a couple of years ago. Are you aware that they remade it?
I heard about it.
The
I
Paws of Fury.
but So it's funny because like I love Mel Brooks movies, and I adore Blazing Saddles, but it was Young Frankenstein that was my top favorite of Mel's movies. So as much as I adore Blazing Saddles, it's not one of my favorites of his, and so I kind of just
I'm telling you
like,
though, just for
okay, yeah.
poops and giggles sometime,
That is true. That is
find the
true.
movie Paws of Fury. It's an animated kids film. It is
Got
a
it.
remake of Blazing Saddles, and it's like
Okay.
for kids, but you're like, because I watched it with my nephew one day and I went, is this Blazing Saddles?
You're like, wait a second, I've seen this before.
Yeah, it's surprising. Superman, that's amazing. I love that. I see the Zelda behind you.
Yes.
I was out thrifting. My wife works at a thrift store, and someone had donated old original Zelda NES games. And she's like, "Well, what do you want to do with
Wow.
these?" I was like, "Well, these are coming home with
You're
us."
like, what are you talking about? My husband's a huge gamer, and I also grew up with games because of my brother. My brother's 8 years older than I am. So anytime he was bringing in the new and improved gaming system, I was sitting next to him in awe. But yeah, grew up with the NES, Super NES. Genesis was my favorite of all of them. I had the original Genesis up until I was in college. Unfortunately, it was stolen from me. And so, but I still have my N64. Like, Zelda and Mario and all that stuff, those are the classics that I will play all the time. I don't play all the new stuff, the PS5 things. Like
No,
my
I get it.
husband and my daughter, they can play those games. That's cool. I'll watch, but I was more of an MMORPG. I
Okay.
was huge into World of Warcraft. Played that for probably 15 years, which is before I couldn't afford it anymore. So those kind of I like that kind of gaming is the RPG. But yeah, so I have more stuff like in the back. Like I have my husband's alien photo you could
Oh,
see.
okay.
And then because that's his favorite movie is Alien, the Alien franchise. And then I have my
Sweet.
other Jaws photo right here, and then more, Star Wars and Superman and stuff like that. So it's definitely a nerd wall happening.
Well, let's touch on Star Wars then. Where do you fall in the Star Wars universe? Are you original trilogy, prequel, secondary, do you have a favorite film? Anything?
So I was born just after Empire Strikes Back. Not after, no, Empire Strikes Back. I was born after Revenge, no, Return of the Jedi. That's what it was. And so I remember my brother, again, 8 years older, he would always like role play Star Wars. And, he, just like every other kid, he would get like the tube of roller paper and pretend it was a lightsaber. I remember I was like two, but he would put like the white, laundry basket on his head and pretend he was Vader. And I would giggle. He used to use my high chair as like an X-wing and start firing. Like that's what I remember. And I remember the movies because my mom was a huge fan as well. So Empire Strikes Back for me is my favorite. So I grew up with the original. And of course I loved Leia. That was my absolute favorite character. And I also loved Han. But when the prequels came out, I was like, okay, wasn't a huge fan. And I think it was just because I was used to the practical effects and there was just too much CGI. So just the normal issues that fans had with the movies, but I feel like the stories were important. I definitely liked Revenge of the Sith. I think that was the best out of the three.
Okay.
When they decided to come out with the sequels, I was a little nervous. I was like, oh dear, what are they trying to do? And I enjoyed them. I think everyone, including the new three characters, when it comes to, Rey and Finn and Poe, I don't know. I think just the way that the story was going, it was like, okay, it just kind of felt like a more recycled story, especially like
Right.
the first one, The Force Awakens. It just seemed like a updated version of what Luke Skywalker was, right? So I don't know. It's hard because I do love Star Wars. I'm still in love with Star Wars. I've watched the tell like I love The Mandalorian. I loved Ahsoka. Wasn't a huge fan of Boba Fett, but like I don't diss on those who do. And unfortunately, that fandom is very, very hardcore haters
What about
when it
Andor? Did you
comes.
watch Andor?
Oh, I loved Andor. Andor, I think, is top-notch, perfect storytelling when it comes to all of it. And I think it was just because it didn't have anything to do with the Skywalkers. I think after a while, when it's only about the Skywalkers, it's like, yeah, but there was a lot of other places that they could explore, and Andor definitely highlighted that. So I do, and I absolutely enjoyed that a lot. And I really think Clone Wars, even though it's animated, is top-notch storytelling. Like, for sure. I think they took what Star Wars is and just ran with it. And I think in some cases, like with Boba Fett, there could have been a lot there that really showcased that particular character, because he was only in it for a couple seconds in the movie, but he was a very important character to a lot of people. He's my husband's favorite character. But they kind of then shifted of like, oh, look, Luke Skywalker. And it's like, oh, come on. So I think
I understand the affection for Boba Fett. I'm Boba Fett adjacent when I when in re in regards to that, like I'm a Han Solo guy, but my Star Wars collection is mainly Han Solo and Carbonite, as odd as that
Oh,
sounds.
nice.
Like it came down to when I was a kid, my mom had bought me the Slave One, is what it was called at the time, ship, and it was supposed to come with the Han Solo and Carbonite figure. I was like, oh, it's gonna be great. And mine didn't. Someone had slipped it out of the box, and
Rude.
so I never got that. And to this day, I still have never gotten the original Han Solo and Carbonite. But
Oh,
like
wow.
subsequently, like Power of the Force version, other versions that they put out, the Funko Pop version, whatever. I've added those to the collection. I have one next to my bed that's like, this tall, and it's that's
That's
my
cool.
thing. So I'm Boba adjacent.
Well, that's great. I mean, it's funny because, like, my husband and I call him Nerf Herder. Like, that's his nickname.
Is he
We got
scruffy?
m He is scruffy. Yes, he is. He's a scruffy looking Nerf Herder. My last car, RIP to the Falcon, that was the Millennium Falcon. And I actually have the Sabacc dice that
Okay.
Han has. That's currently in my car now. And even like my sunshade is of like Obi-Wan and Han and Luke and Chewbacca in the Millennium Falcon. Like, I'm still a hardcore fan. I absolutely adore
No.
this franchise. So,
I
but then in
love
the
the
back
blending.
there's, yeah, there in the back there's, the Delta, and then there's a Doctor Who TARDIS. X-Files, like,
I have a TARDIS on the back of my truck too, and I have a Delta hanging from the rear view mirror. I'm all over the place with stuff too. I get that.
So I love to, as if my friend Danny says from Comics, and we're non-denominational nerds, is how she likes to say it.
That's great.
We're not just one fandom.
I have to remember that one. I have to remember that one. Yeah, I look forward to any conversation that you end up having about Doctor Who. I'm a huge Whovian. I didn't get into Doctor Who until 2007. So, but I once I did, I was on board.
Yeah, I'm a late bloomer. It was funny because I saw David Tennant in Broadchurch,
Wow,
and I
yes, love
absolutely
Broadchurch.
adored it. Love Broadchurch. And then I know they did the American version that he also did not like it as much as Broadchurch, but when I saw that he was the 10th Doctor, I was like, ooh, I'm gonna give this a chance because I loved David. And so I went back, kind of missed the 9th Doctor with Chris, and then I just went and saw 10th Doctor, loved it, and then I saw Matt, loved it, and then I saw a little, and then I went back to 9. I was like, okay, I better watch this. And then I saw a little bit of Peter and Jodie before, them going into 14 and 15. But there's just something about Doctor Who that it's just a mix of everything. Like I've said, like, Wesley is technically the doctor, right? He's a
True.
traveler of time and space. There's a way to intertwine. So that's why that little Easter egg we got in Strange New Worlds, where the TARDIS is just hanging out on the nacelle of the Enterprise. I was like, right there, right there. We could totally have this. But my favorite character of Doctor Who is River Song.
Oh, yeah.
I grew up with Alex Kingston on ER. And so to see her on Doctor Who and the character she played and the complexity of her character, just of how different and kind of tragic of how
Yeah.
her timeline is backwards from the doctor's, was top notch. I'm as much as I love David's doctor, I think the writing for Matt's doctor was amazing. And I just think that overall with the ponds and river was just the best that they've had. And they haven't really been able to, they've come close, but they haven't really been able to capture that, in my opinion. But I got to meet Alex and I was super stoked. And I get to meet David at the end of this month. And so I'm a little freaking out a little bit about that. But
I'm a
yeah,
little
those are
jealous.
definitely, I'm so excited.
The Impossible Astronaut is still my favorite Doctor Who episode of all time,
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
for
Yeah.
multiple reasons. One, I was in Utah when they were filming, and I was about a
Ooh.
mile away with binoculars watching. So while they were
So
filming
cool.
that, doing that, two, he's sitting on an Edsel at one point in the opening. Fun fact. My real name is Edsel Ford.
Oh,
Yes, named
nice.
after Matt Carr. Three,
Nice.
it deals with the moon land or going to the moon, Neil Armstrong and everything else. I live in Neil Armstrong's hometown.
Oh, cool. You just have these lovely little connections to it.
So I was like, okay, A, I'm there, all this. I was like, how could this not be more perfect? Oh yeah, love that one. And then I loved Matt Smith. I really did. Don't get me wrong. I love Chidi, the newest doctor. I love Chidi, but I'm hoping for more of that Matt Smith type youthful, like running, crazy, wacky. We gotta solve this. And that's what I'm hoping for the next doctor, whoever he or she may be, or they, you know. But yeah, I could talk Doctor Who.
Absolutely. So you know what? I'm gonna put out a personal invitation. When I do my Doctor Who episode, you'll be my guest.
I gladly accept. I
Right.
will come with plenty to say. But
Perfect. A Good Man Goes to War is probably my absolute favorite, but I do love Blink because it was so different.
oh yeah,
So
well. And well, The Good Man Goes to War has one of the best quotes ever, and it's like, what is it? I'm paraphrasing when I say, like, a good man has many rules, and or whatever you will find out, or I can't remember. It's like, you will find out why I have so many rules, and I need to
yes.
bone up on my quotes, but yeah, I love that
Yeah.
one, and
Yeah.
but yeah, Blink is like anytime it's like, oh, I want to start watching Doctor Who, where should I start? Blink. Just go
Blink.
there.
Yeah, for sure. That people have asked me that as being a new fan of Star Trek, they're like, what would be a good episode for people to start? And I say Cause and Effect.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Well,
For
yeah.
sure. Yeah.
Three. The answer
I
is
mean,
three.
that, the fact that with Cause and Effect, like, yes, Beverly Crusher saved the day, but it was an overall story with all the characters. And who doesn't like a good, Groundhog Day episode, right? As if you can do it right, then it's something that really intrigues people. So, not as much technobabble too, because I think if you do too much technobabble on their first run, they're just gonna like glaze over and forget about
Yeah.
it. We want it subtle. We want to bring it in as a. Definitely not Sub Rosa. As much as I advocate for Sub Rosa, not an episode to give to people for the Star
Probably
Trek.
not, unless they're
Unless
really
they're an
weird.
Anne Rice fan. Yes.
Yeah. Well, not to say that Anne Rice fans are weird. I don't want to alienate anyone. I have a couple of
No.
her books sitting over here looking at me, but yeah, no, I get what you're saying. Yeah, the man, but yeah, I think if I had to tell somebody where to start with Star Trek, I would probably go with season three. What's well, it's multiple phases. Season two of TOS, season three of TNG, season three of DS9, with the exception of adding the last episode of season two of DS9 to start with the Jem'Hadar. Voyager, the whole thing. I love Voyager. I won't. I can't knock Voyager.
Right.
And D Discovery, to a varying degree. I mean, Discovery was kind of all over the place. With season one and two, I'm not a big fan of, but there are highlights. But usually, it's like just go ahead and go to three. You don't need
Yeah.
the backstory. But yeah, it's kind of. It's a fun thing to play. I did a thing
Right.
one time, top five episodes of each show, and I think that took me 8 days to figure out how to do that. So.
Yeah, no, I understand that. I mean, I'm almost done with Enterprise, and then I'll get into Discovery here soon. But one big thing that happened in my Star Trek journey is that I got my husband to watch all of Star Trek because he actually only saw TNG
Wow.
and didn't watch any of the other shows. My mom and my stepdad only saw TOS and they didn't want to watch any of the other shows. And so with me doing my whole like got to watch all of it, my mom listens to my podcast, so she'll always have questions like, "Well, then what happened in this episode?" And sometimes I could answer, or sometimes I'm like, "You're gonna have to just watch it. It's too complicated to tell you." But then my husband decided, like, "I'll start watching it." He got into DS9 and Voyager and all, and he loves them. Like, he
That's great.
absolutely loves those series. And he would have missed out if I didn't go into this journey. So yeah, it's a kind of full circle. I was all like, "Hey, you got me into Star Trek, and now I'm getting you into more Star Trek." And so now he's watching. He watched Lower Decks. He saw Prodigy. He's finishing, Strange New Worlds with me right now. And so yeah, he's now full on Star. He's a full on Trekkie. And fun fact, my husband and I, not knowing this, we got married 9 years ago. We got married on Star Trek Day.
Oh wow. Well, happy
And
anniversary in 2 days.
in 2 days, yeah. And
Or
so
3
that's
weeks
what's
ago when this airs.
exactly right. We're in the future. What was funny is because we got married at the courthouse and it was the only day off we had. It was a Thursday. And so we're like, "All right, let's go." And it just so happened to be September 8th. So it was kismet for
That's great.
us.
I
Yeah.
found a way to work Star Trek into my wedding with my wife. We just celebrated 7 years a couple weeks ago, and
Nice.
like I wore the black and silver Section 31 Delta that was from
Cool.
Discovery. I wore that on my vest, and then I had Vic Fontaine music playing during our reception. The whole thing was Vic
Cool.
Fontaine, but nobody knew. Nobody caught on, but I'm sitting there going,
Yeah.
yeah, I was like, I know what's going on here. But
Right.
everybody's like, oh, so classic. I was like, yes, I like the classics, but
Yeah,
so.
it's funny because when we thought of like actually doing a wedding, it was going to be very Star Wars heavy. Like the cake would be have like the Millennium Falcon on it, or Han and Leia and all that stuff. But then we're just like, "You know what? We'll just go to a courthouse and just get it done." But he did wear a Space Invaders tie. That was
Awesome.
his way of sneaking in some
Is it
nerdism
black and
in a
white? I have that
It
tie.
is. Yeah, still has it. I should look for my photo of our wedding, and he's wearing his Space Invaders tie. So I was like,
The
"There you
man has
go.
good
Gotta."
taste.
He does his best. Yeah. So, kind of wish I had something that I could wear that was reminiscent to Star Wars, but I didn't have anything at the time. So, but it's fine. It's fine.
Well, as I was saying,
And we got married on
if
Star Wars Day, Star Trek Day. So
yeah, I
there
mean,
you go.
and the whole world celebrates your anniversary. You can't beat that.
I can't beat that. And I know when the anniversary is because we got married on the 50th.
No, well, there you go. So
So,
10, so 10 years this week.
well,
Oh
it'll
no,
be 9 years next
next year.
year.
Next year.
Yep.
I'm already
So
for the 60th, what can I say?
everybody is. We're all getting geared up for it. So yeah, but I remember I was all like, "Oh, so when it's our 10, it's the 60th. If it's our 20th, it's the 70th." Yeah. So easy to
That's
remember on
great.
my end. Yeah.
That is great. I want to ask you a couple more questions. I'm going to ask you one last barrage of questions before I let you go. I don't want to keep you here all day because you want to start talking TARDISes and Millennium
We'll go
Falcons, and
off the path. Yeah.
I'm going to be here all day long. And people are like, isn't this a Star Trek panel? Anyways, but so. You've watched all these, you're getting caught up on the shows, you've watched the movies, and so on and so forth. Take Beverly Crusher and O'Brien out of the equation here, and what would be your favorite movie and character
Of all of Star Trek?
of all of
Or
them?
just of all of them.
Of all of them. Like, what would be that comfort movie that you think you could just Like, let's say it was Jaws and you had to watch it on,
What's my
repeat.
Star Trek Jaws?
Yeah, what's your Star Trek Jaws?
Yeah. Gosh, I honestly, I think I could watch. I love Picard. And so I think any of the TNG, like best of both worlds, the Borg stuff. I mean, as much as the Borg got overused a little bit too much later on, First Contact, I feel, is definitely something that I could watch over and over again and quote it. But I really love Janeway. So I think like even her powerful episodes in Voyager, I can't think of the names of them, but when she's like those micro things going around the
Oh,
ship and she
macrocosm.
yes, I could watch that all the time. Or even just like Bride of Chaotica was hilarious and she
It
was
is.
hilarious.
It is.
So as much as it's a silly holodeck episode, I'm all like, Kate stole the show with just her eye rolls and her like gasps and just her mannerisms. I could watch that all the time. So I think those would probably be something that sticks out for
That's
me.
a great answer. That's a great answer. I truly appreciate your time and coming on here to tell everybody about you and your podcast. But where can we, if well, pretend I don't know where to follow you. Where can people find you and where can they follow you and everything else?
So you guys can hit me up over at YouTube at Crusher Combo. That is where I have all of my episodes. And if you want to follow me on the socials, I am on Instagram, Threads, and Blue Sky. So at the same handle at Crusher Combo. Hit me up, join the conversation. I like to say, crush the conversation with me. You can even submit a penny for your thoughts, which you have done, Ed, and I will air it live on my show. Just of your thoughts of whatever the topic I'm doing that week. But yeah, follow me there.
Awesome. Everybody, come on, let's boost that signal. Go follow Jesse over at the Crusher Combo. Let's I know that you're trying to get to a certain number because you've got a giveaway that you would like to do. Do you want to tell everybody about that?
Sure. So once I get to 1,000 followers on Instagram, because they changed their rules, and so I can't do lives anymore until I get to 1,000 followers and 1,000 subscribers on YouTube. I will be doing a giveaway of a Gates McFadden autograph of a once in a lifetime photo that I took personally in the 2023 TNG reunion at STLV of Gates, and she signed it this last time. So that will be my giveaway once I hit 1,000 followers and subscribers on YouTube and Instagram. So I can't wait for that.
That's awesome. I really hope you get that number. I'd like to see that giveaway go out to someone that's going to love it and have it hanging on their wall in the back like you have that Christopher Reeve,
I know. Yeah, I know. It's the wall keeps going. There's more on the other end. But yeah, I can't wait. I really want to, share the love of Beverly Crusher and Gates McFadden any way I can. So.
That's great. That is great. I appreciate your time and hanging out with me today. And I cannot wait to see what the future holds and have that TARDIS conversation about the doctor with you.
Yeah, can't wait. Thank you so much for inviting me today.
You're welcome. Thanks for coming.